Amen. We certainly appreciate these wonderful truths that have been set before us this morning. Elder Heron and I had a discussion about when a preacher doesn't preach for a while and on a regular basis, and if he can get out of practice. And we had some different thoughts along that line. But I believe this morning it's evident that Brother Virgil is still in practice, and we praise the Lord. Amen for that today. I would try to continue on in this vein of thought this morning if the Lord would be our helper and bless us to do so. I want to look at a very familiar verse to begin with that's found in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, 17, and 18 there, where the Lord declares to his disciples, those apostles, the 11, concerning the power, concerning the authority that the Lord, our great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has. There in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, brothers and sisters, if there was nothing else in the Scriptures, of course the Bible teaches us, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And of course, all the Scriptures harmonize. All the Scriptures enhance each other. All the Scriptures tie in to each other to give a beautiful, full picture of subject matter from the very start of the book to the very ending of the book. But here we have the very words of Jesus Christ himself when he is about to ascend back to the glory world. And you know, I use that language, the glory world, because Jesus taught the lesson. He taught the lesson about when the disciples said, we have forsaken mother, we have forsaken father, we have forsaken houses, we have forsaken land and so forth. And Jesus told them that they would not lose the blessing, the reward here in this life, that they would have mothers, they would have fathers, they would have houses, they would have land, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Oh, he made a distinction there. That's another good place to teach a temporal and an everlasting deliverance, because Jesus taught both of those right there. Jesus taught that the blessing and obedience of having fathers and mothers and having houses and land here, amen, are temporal blessings based upon obedience, for they have forsaken all. Jesus had taught, if you try to gain your life, you'll lose it, but if you'll lose it for my sake, then you will find it. So it all ties in and harmonizes together. But Jesus said, and in the world to come. Now, that word world there particularly doesn't mean age, but it means order of arrangement. Anytime you see the word world in the Bible, and depending upon the context that it's in, it's either going to mean age or a span of time, or either order of arrangement in speaking about the word world. And so when Jesus says, and in the world to come, life everlasting, he's talking about, amen, in that superior, glorified order of arrangement. Thank God there are arrangements made for God's people, for the elect of God. There have been arrangements made. Amen. It's a reservation, and it is sure, and it is complete, and it will not pass. It will not fade away. There's an inheritance for God's people that are reserved for them, and the reason is, amen, because Jesus Christ is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has all power in heaven and in earth. Jesus here said that it had been given unto him. All power is given unto me. Who gave him this power? What does this word power mean? What does it represent? It represents authority. Amen. Jesus is saying all power, all authority has been given unto me. Who gave it to him? His Father himself. This has to do with his kingdom. Daniel talks about it. Daniel saw something wonderful and recorded it down. He saw one, amen, coming to the Ancient of Days. He saw the person of the Son of God come unto God the Father and receive the kingdom from him. It's always been in the mind and purpose of God. It's given unto the Son of God, amen, who condescended to this earth. The Word made flesh and blood, yet without sin. The Word made flesh and came here to this earth to do what he came to do. But the Father gave him a kingdom. And Jesus told those apostles, as the Father hath appointed or given unto me a kingdom, so give I unto you. Now, the elder here, he referred to it. There are several aspects. Amen. There's different far as understanding of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The scriptures speak of the kingdom of heaven. The scriptures speak of the kingdom of God. They're one and the same. Amen. God is the king over this kingdom, and the mother country of this kingdom is from heaven. Oh, yes, it is. We can see and understand the different aspects of the kingdom. But over it all, the whole summation is that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he has all authority. Now, a lot of times we go to John 17 and 2 to use the information there to prove one of the proofs of election. But I want you to notice in the first part of that and what it will tell us. When Jesus is praying in that priestly prayer to his Father, and he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, we always emphasize and use it as a proof text for election. And the Son giving eternal life to the ones that the Father gave him. That's the chosen, the elect of God. But notice the first expression, as thou hast given him power, authority over all flesh. All flesh. Now, I submit that in the context there, that it's human flesh that's under consideration. It's talking about humanity. As thou hast given him power over all of humanity to give eternal life. In other words, out of humanity to the ones that the Father gave him out of humanity. I heard an elder one time say, and bless his heart, and I'm not throwing rocks at him, but he was just mistaken. He was wrong. But nevertheless, he made the statement that God did not choose his people out of Adam's family or Adam's race. And he used the argument, said when God chose the people, Adam didn't have a race. Well, in the mind and purpose of God, amen, Adam's race was already before him. And I pray, tell me, if God didn't choose his people out of the human family, then where did he get them? Yeah. Amen. I tell you, he chose them out of the human family. Yeah. Amen. He chose them out of the family that has the first parents of Adam and Eve. This Bible don't talk about any others. No. Amen. He don't talk about any others. It don't talk about there being human beings from any other starting place. But Adam and Eve, that's the starting someplace. That's plain to see. Oh, I want to tell you, when God, for it's always been in God. We don't have the language of eternity. Amen. But it's always been in the mind and purpose of God, of His choice, of His election. And His election was out of the human family. For God saw and knew all that would ever be conceived from the first man that He made down until the last individual to ever be conceived before the end of time. Amen. God knew every single one of them. So we understand this, that He has power over all flesh. Amen. And why does He have power over all flesh? Because His kingdom reaches, amen, and covers the realm of all flesh. Oh, thank God for that today. And I will even go further. And of course, as I said, it's not in the context. Human flesh is under consideration. But I want to tell you, any flesh, amen, made for its creature. Amen. Going on to other animals or insects or whatever else you please. As far as that goes, amen, God is Creator. And Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. God proved, amen, that His realm of creation and His lordship over it, even in the Old Testament. Amen. The power of God, amen, made a jackass of a donkey, amen, to preach unto Balaam. God prepared a great fish. Oh, folks have argued it over and over and over about whether there was such a fish in existence that could swallow and sustain a man and sustain natural life. But you see, the point is, they're leaving out is that this was a fish prepared, amen, of the Lord. Oh, why? Because He has power over all flesh. Amen. How is it that a rooster, amen, could crow at the right time and could crow, amen, the three times? Amen. Because He has power over all flesh.
Yeah.
Well, my Lord, amen. He's King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords. Now, I told you the context of it, and I'm not trying to get out in left field, but He's got power over all flesh. Amen. Whatever it is. Oh, His kingdom reaches. His kingdom is there. Now, the elder made reference there toward the beginning of the discourse concerning about God's people being translated into the kingdom, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just turn there and read that. That's in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, we have some wonderful language here that as the apostle writes to the church at Colossia and teaching them concerning about Christ Jesus. And the focus point is upon the Lord and who He is. Beginning here in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, M-E-E-T, to be partakers, in other words, made us able, made us that we could be. Why? Because He did that work, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Thank God. Amen. There is an inheritance for all the elect of God. But I'm so glad that the Lord, amen, has blessed. And there's an aspect of the gospel kingdom where we have some light upon this inheritance. And thank God it's through the finished work of Jesus Christ and His shed blood and all that He did, not only making it where every last hour of promise will live with God in glory without the loss of one, but there's some folks here on this earth that understand some things and who will give and bow the knee to King Jesus and worship Him in the gospel kingdom and praise and glorify His sweet and wonderful name. But it says, who then? Talking about who? Talking about when He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The who is God the Father. God the Father hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Thank God. Amen. That how God has delivered his people from the power of darkness in one sense. Amen. It's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But also through Christ, and all that Christ has done has brought forth a deliverance in a gospel sense, whereby that we can be delivered from ignorant darkness. Amen. And we could have light and understanding. But here he goes on and says, and hath. In other words, and even translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is in regeneration. Amen. We are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. In regeneration, we are taken out of the kingdom of darkness. We are taken out of that state, of that Adam, by our federal head and representative put us in, into that that darkness there have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There's an aspect, amen, of the kingdom. Now Christ, he is King of Kings over all. And he is King of Kings of his elect family. And he is King of Kings, amen, of the gospel church. It's kind of like the United States of America. And then Georgia is within the United States of America. And then where we are here, white Georgia, or whatever little communities are around us, but let's just say white Georgia, for which our address is within the state of Georgia. But white Georgia is within Georgia, and Georgia is within the United States. Each one of those is the smaller of the whole. Now I submit unto you, as far as God's gospel kingdom, wherein he's praised and exalted and magnified as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it would be compared unto the smaller of the whole. For the vast majority of God's people are in a darkness of ignorance. But that doesn't hinder the fact or take away, though, that they can be translated or and have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You know, in all of eternity, there again we say that we don't have the language of eternity. But it's always been in the mind and purpose of God that the Son of God, who's in the bosom of the Father and has proceeded forth from the bosom of the Father, according to John chapter 1, and that's the Word made flesh, and we know that is Jesus Christ. Alright? But before the man manifested Jesus Christ, we understand that the Word, the Son of God, amen, is in the very bosom of the Father. Now I know that starts, some folks might say, getting over in the weeds a little bit or trying to split hairs, but that's sort of a hair that needs to be split. But nevertheless, there it has always been in the mind and purpose of God that His Son is King.
Yeah.
And it was manifested before the heavenly family, if you please, before the Father, before the Holy Ghost, before the angels, the holy angels of God, which were confirmed in grace and manifested and showed, even as Daniel saw him receive this kingdom from his Father, the manifestation of it that we read about. Now that would be in a smaller sense, in far as the comparison that I want to make. Have you ever thought about David? David was first anointed king in the presence of his family. Samuel, anointed and king, there just in the family, among his brethren. And then later on, he was anointed king far as Judah, the tribe, recognized. And I would appoint that as the church, the gospel church. Then later on, he is anointed king over all of Israel and showed forth and manifested to be king over all Israel. Now, the elders already told you that a Jew is not one that is one outwardly, but one that is one inwardly. And that's what Paul said in Romans chapter 3. That a Jew is not one that is outward, but one that is inward.
Yeah.
And all of God's elect, amen, are Jews in that sense. But not all of God's elect people have bowed the knee to King Jesus. Not all of them have bowed the knee to his kingship and lordship, because the vast majority of them don't understand it that way. They don't have the comprehension of it. They don't have the life. They don't have the understanding. Oh, but I tell you, amen, in the the gospel church, the gospel church aspect, part of the kingdom, which is the small, which is contained within the whole, but it's on the smaller scale compared to even as Judah was. Whereas in the gospel sense, and I trust that we're part of that, and by God's grace and knowledge, we understand his lordship and his kingship, and in obedience and gospel obedience and discipleship, we bow the knee to the kingship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, I believe that in the glorious day of the resurrection, when he gathers, amen, all the elect, and they stand before the Father and they're gathered home, our blessed King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen, will be manifested and magnified within the eyes of all the elect and all of spiritual Israel. Amen. Will know and realize that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're not going to make him that. He already is. Amen. But they're going to magnify him. Amen. They're going to give the recognition. They're going to give the praise. They're going to give the glory and give the honor. Amen. Unto him. I believe that all the elect of God will know and understand. Amen. Exactly how and why and the means of being in heaven and immortal glory. And know work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all praise will be unto him.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I tell you, I hear a lot of silly songs down here about a lot of different silly things from the imagination of people about how they're going to look up this one and that one that help them to get to heaven, and this one and that one that helped save them, and this one and that one that gave certain amount of money for the missionary to go into the foreign soil. And I want to tell you, all of that, brothers and sisters, amen, it's not saving the soul for heaven immortal glory, amen, but that's good works that we ought to engage in the right and proper way, amen, and in knowledge way here in this life, to help save God's people in a temporal sense, amen. But I want to tell you, there'll be nobody sharing the praise. There'll be no one sharing the honor and the glory with King Jesus. He'll be manifested in the eyes of all Israel.
Amen.
That's why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 11 and 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Amen. That's got to be spiritual Israel, because I tell you, all of national Israel will never be saved. Amen. Because the scripture teaches us that not every seed, as far as in a natural sense, of Abraham is of the spiritual seed or the elect. They're not, as he says there in Romans, the ninth chapter, or maybe the tenth chapter, if I remember correctly. Let's just turn there real quick. I think we can find it. In Romans In Romans chapter 9 and in verse 6, Romans 9 and 6, not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. So there it is very plainly that teaching us just because they were born of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not automatically put them in the everlasting covenant of grace. So when it says all Israel shall be saved, this is talking about spiritual Israel, and it's talking about spiritual Jews. So thank God who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Think about the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ taught His disciples and taught them to pray after this particular manner. Before we get to that though, talking about the gospel aspect of it, and here's a text to prove that in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Matthew 4 and 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, if there's not a gospel aspect, if there's not a gospel phase, which is a smaller that is contained in the larger of the whole, what is the gospel of the kingdom? The good news of the kingdom. This is, amen, the preaching and telling of the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. And we know that that's a smaller portion of the elect that hear and receive and embrace and rejoice in the gospel of the kingdom. Now, Jesus, just a page over there, Jesus had taught them in the teaching there about the manner and of their praying after this manner in Matthew 6 and 9. Before I start there, Jesus gave them some words in verse 5 through 8, and I'm not going to take time to read that, but it go along kindly with the discourse from last Sunday, and where Jesus teaches them about in their praying. He said in verse 7, but when you pray, he didn't say if you pray, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. So the Lord is giving some instructive words about our praying and our worshiping in prayer. But notice in this, when He says, after this manner in verse 9, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Oh, we need the spiritual manifestation. We need the spiritual emphasis of the kingdom of the Lord when we pray. That's still relevant to us today, even though the apostles, as Jesus said, as my Father hath appointed or given unto me a kingdom, so give I unto you. And the Bible says that He gave first unto the church apostles. So they are primary and they're foundational. And that's according to also to the Ephesian letter, that you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So they also, amen, they are initial or first, amen, in the underlining, as He gave first unto the church, apostles. But we even now, some 2,000 years later, we still, as we pray, this prayer is still relevant. This prayer is still correct. Thy kingdom come. You say that it's already come. Well, the Lord's already come, and He is going to come again. What do we talk about? We pray even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Lord, come. Oh, brothers and sisters, we should be continuously praying for the Lord to come unto us, to come in a manifested way. Amen. To come to our aid, to come to our help, to come to us in our troubles and so forth. For His kingdom, the authority and the power of King Jesus to step forth. Amen. And to speak. You know, even him, Michael, the one of the archangels of God, one on up higher in the ranks, far as the angelical host of heaven. He did not bring forth a railing accusation, as Jude says, but he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Brother Daniel talked about and gave the writing about Gabriel, who was sent to give him understanding. And Daniel had been praying for several days there. How that Gabriel told him, said, "The Lord heard your prayer when you first prayed the prayer." He said, "I've been fighting with the prince of Persia coming to you." This had to be a spiritual prince. This had to be not the literal prince of Persia. Amen. It had to be a mighty warrior in the dark forces, if you please, that Gabriel fought against. He wouldn't be fighting against, a spiritual being of light. He was fighting against an evil spirit of darkness, and it's called the prince of Persia. And Gabriel said, "I'm going to have to go back and do the same thing again when I leave you." Amen. I want to tell you, we need to pray his kingdom come. He has all power, all authority, and even, the angels, even of high ranking order, says that they did not rebuke Satan or his power, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Amen. That we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Amen. "Thy lordship, thy kingship, thy ruling power, thy overruling power, Lord, rebuke the power of Satan." I tell you, brothers and sisters, we know and understand we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
I tell you what. Amen. We can see those wicked spirits that rule in places, in authority, directing and endeavoring to motivate and stir the wickedness within carnal nature of man unto wickedness. Wouldn't surprise me a bit if they wasn't a prince of darkness of Washington, D.C. Amen. And these other places, and over New York, where the United Nations is, and all of these other type places. But I want to tell you, amen, it's only King Jesus, amen, that can say, "Satan, amen, the Lord, or I rebuke thee." As I've said many times, as the scripture says, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." Oh, so many folks leave out the first part. Oh, resist the devil and he'll flee. Don't get into that till you first draw nigh to God. Yeah. Amen. Until you've been praying, "Thy kingdom come." Until you've been praying, yeah, amen, for the Lord to do the rebuking. It'll be like those that were trying to cast out devils and said, "I adjure thee, come out in the name of Jesus, of whom Paul preaches." And them spirits said, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you?"
Yeah.
Oh, I want to tell you, those spirits know Jesus Christ. Sure they do.
Yeah.
Why, even that one that Jesus cast out, the spirits, his name was Legion. And entered into 2,000 swine, and they ran violently down the cliff and was choked in the midst of the sea. Whenever the man and those spirits saw Jesus coming, they recognized Jesus, the very Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and said, "Why hast thou come to torment us before the time?" So evidently they know their time is numbered. They know that there's coming a day of reckoning. Amen. "Why hast thou come to torment us before the time?" Well, because I'm going to tell you, all of every single being, every creature named in heaven and in earth and under the earth, they know the name Jesus Christ. They know the name, the power, the authority. Amen. And those that don't will, amen, know the authority and the power, and it will be manifested. And just because folks don't understand, and even if there are wicked spirits that don't understand, that's all right. I tell you, there's going to come a day in the end of time when he's going to be known and manifested manifested among his people as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will be known. Amen. He will be known and understood among all. Amen. Of his power and his authority.
Amen.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Amen.
Amen. That sounds like that we can face today and we can face tomorrow.
Yes.
And we can face the next day.
Amen.
And we can face every day. Amen. Because of Jesus. And because he lives. And he has all power.
Amen.
He has all authority in heaven and in earth. And then in that closing out expression, when in verse 13, when he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom,
yes,
and the power and the glory,
yes,
forever."
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to close with this reading. Go back in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter 29 and verse 11. This would be the doxology, if you please. The summation of David's thanksgiving and prayer before the changing over of the throne from David to Solomon. Well, let's just get verse 10 too. There's a lot of these verses here. Read this all sometime. Verse 10, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all."
Amen.
Isn't that good? That is great. David, King David, in his thanksgiving and prayer. Amen. There before he steps down and turns that throne over to Solomon, and he says, "Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom." What's he doing? He's submitting himself to the kingship of God. The God Almighty. That's what he's doing. Thine is the kingdom. God bless you this morning.
Amen, brother. God bless you.
We certainly thank the Lord for his goodness and mercies to us.